other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, the only podcast on the internet sponsored by Ron Artest's Vest Chest, because your chest deserves the very best vest. My name is Aaron, and here are my personal pals, Dave.
Hey, Booze.
Brick.
Hello, Booze.
Calling from Old Ireland, Old Irish Nico.
Hello.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our first installment of our Halloween Spooktacular. Let's call this Boo Buddies, because it sounds like boob. We're going to talk about today our scariest reading experiences, the things you've read that were the scariest or the thing scared you the most. I think we discussed this a little bit before about how sort of scares work in books, right? And I'm not sure. I haven't entered this discussion, but I don't think I've ever been truly scared by a book. Like, do you feel like you get scared by books the same way you get scared by movies or other media? I don't know. Is it worth the same way for you?
As an adult?
Yeah.
Because when I was a kid, Scary Stories Until the Dark was really scary. But to be honest, it was right. Because of the drawings and not because of the words.
Right.
I don't know. So I have a couple answers to this, but one of them I'm going to table because I think that maybe it's an entire separate podcast talking about atmosphere in books.
Okay.
I think there's some books that do a very good job of setting an atmosphere. You know, like H.P. Lovecraft, like all of his stuff is very good at that.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily scary. Like, I want to read that and then I want to go watch a horror movie, you know, because it like puts you in the mood but doesn't finish you off.
It's not full completion for you.
Yeah. And the scary satisfaction jar.
I call that more eerie than scary, right? Like eerie,
yeah,
chilling.
Spooky. Chilling. Yeah. So that's, I think Dave and I both really like gothic books. Mm. And I think, you know, certainly my pull from, if we would talk about that, is from there. Scary is a little different because sometimes Stephen King, maybe. Mm. Or, you know, what's that other guy? Clive Barker. Mm-hmm. I've never read his books, but I've seen the movies made off him. It sounds like he's similar, but a little more demonic, maybe. I don't know.
I think Clive Barker is more like upsetting. I don't know. I think Clive Barker is scarier than Stephen King, probably.
Or at least more like gory.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know. The answer I came up with was a book that's not so much scary as it was like unsettling. Mm. And it was House of Leaves by Mark Dan Alewski. Yeah, which I haven't read in like, I don't know, I read it like maybe 10 years ago, so going off memory a little bit. Maybe it's a terrible book, I don't know. I remember liking it. It's a book about these people find there's a hole or a tunnel or something in their house. It kind of reminded me a little of, remember that Twilight Zone episode where they're like the child accidentally like teleports?
Oh yeah,
see
little
that
girl
one?
Lost.
The little girl like gets teleported into the wall, and then there's like a mysterious like dimension through the wall, and they can kind of like feel their way around. Like the Mark Dan Alewski book is basically that, but like it's a thick book. It's probably 500 or 600 pages. I don't remember exactly.
Isn't it written kind of like a weird like typesetting way that there's like
yeah
and so it's the hole or the tunnel or whatever it is that they like descend into and explore has no like its boundaries can't be defined, you know, so it doesn't, it either changes, I can't remember exactly, either changes shape or it's just like shapeless. So they're like trying to like explore this thing and then not doing well, and then the presentation of the book kind of mirrors it, where the text doesn't always stick to the margins or things are moved out of place or like things overlap or are twisted or colors change. It's a little gimmicky, but I remembered liking it quite a bit.
Huh.
And I also remember it like did a good job of making you uncomfortable, but not enough to be like, this is an annoying gimmick, right. I'm not doing this. There's other books that have tried similar things that you go, okay,
right, not the same thing. Is it true that he is the brother of the musician Poe? Do you guys remember that? Was that song?
No idea.
What was it called? Like Johnny or Angry Johnny, where the kicker or the chorus was like, I want to kill you, I want to blow you, and there's a pause and it goes away. Remember that song?
No.
Oh my god. All right, I'm gonna try to look this up.
I remember that song, but I have
I think
no idea
that
if it's related.
He is her brother. But I think I just heard that at some point and never followed up on it, so let's figure it out. Yes. Her name is Ann Decatur Danielewski, and it does seem like her brother is Mark Danielewski. Well, there we go. Now we have it. Wonderful detour into a fact that no one gives a fuck about.
20 seconds well spent.
Nico, what about you? What's your scariest book?
I was thinking about this, and I had a tough time coming up with one. I don't think I don't read much horror.
Mm.
Never really got into Stephen King, and I think like I'm much more apt to watch a horror movie than read a horror book, and I don't know completely why that is. Just, I mean, maybe just because I feel like horror novels, you can just kind of stop them easier than like a horror movie, you know? Like, whereas a horror movie, you can, like, it's gonna keep playing, but if you get too scared of the book, it's like you just put it down and It's like a little more powerless, I feel like. But anyway, so the one that I came up with was a true crime book. Most of us read it when it came out. That one by Michelle McNamara,
I'll Be Gone in the Dark. Yeah.
Because that was like, at the time it was unsolved. It was like gruesome, you know, and it was like a real, you know, maniac out there. And that kind of sense of, yeah, this guy had a 30-year career of just terrorizing people. And like some of the details in that book, he like breaks into a couple's house and like ties up the husband and puts like a stack of dishes on his back and says like, if I hear those dishes break, I'm gonna kill you both. And so then he just has to sit there and listen to the guy like do horrible things to his wife. That's was pretty like, that definitely, you know, I think was pretty scary.
When you mentioned that book, that was the first thing that came to my mind too, was that image. It stayed with me as well because it's so chilling and specific and creepy. Yeah. Like, yeah, totally.
I think generally too, like I find the more realistic things scarier, like people doing fucked up shit, and like more so than like, you know, oh, a demonic car or whatever, you know, the Stephen King book is. Like those kind of premises always seem to me like kind of kitschy. You know, the supernatural stuff. It's like, okay, I guess.
The more plausible is scary to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even, like, I won't even read those or watch the, like, home invasion movies. Like, I'm all set. Like, I don't, they're not fun. I find them disturbing. Right. Or that movie, Hostel, where it's just people being tortured. It's like, this is, yeah, it's scary, but not in a fun way. I remember I read a book a couple years ago. I reviewed it on Chamber 4. I forget what the hell it was called, but it was about basically this. It was like a home invasion story where these people were like defending their home farm or whatever. Very disturbed.
Sounds like a Straw Dogs.
I'll try and look it up while you guys are talking.
Dave, what about you?
Well, I have three books to talk about quickly. Nico reminded me of one. I probably wasn't even 10 years old yet, and my parents, I was going through like a box of, maybe it was just a box of books, and I came across the paperback copy of Helter Skelter, the book about the Manson murders, and it had pictures in it. So I flipped through that. Yeah. I just looked at the pictures, and that fucked me up severely. Yeah. And I hadn't thought of that for years until Nico mentioned the McNamara book. I didn't read it, but yeah, that left an impression on me. I feel like, similar to Brick, when I was younger, I would allow myself to be scared by books in a way that I find impossible anymore. So I would say the scariest book I ever read, and I think I mentioned it before on the show, is Pet Sematary. And I read it when I was maybe 15. That book fucked me up. It kept me up nights. And I remember Stephen King said that that's the only book that scared him while he was writing it.
Huh.
So that makes sense.
Do you remember like what about it scared you particularly? Like what was the scariest thing for you?
No, I guess no moments or anything stand out for me. But I think by that point I had already seen the movie, so I wasn't expecting really to be scared. And then I severely was.
Huh. Right.
Which I don't think has happened since. So a couple of years ago, I think I tried to get back into it and see if a horror novel could scare me. So I asked a bunch of people, and there was one title that kept coming back to me as like a book that scared the shit out of anyone who read it. It's written by Paul Tremblay. It's called The Cabin at the End of the World. Came out maybe 2016 or so. And in fact, I bought it in Ireland when I was visiting Old Irish Nico, and I read it while I was there. And it's eerie. It has some kind of chilling moments, I guess, but there was nothing about it that gave me a similar feeling to when I read Pet Sematary.
Hmm.
So yeah, I'm with Brig. Maybe it's something that I just can't find in a book anymore, although I'd like to keep trying.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's thinking about aging and sort of levels of maturity too, like as a kid, just more, even as like a younger teenager or an older teenager, even more susceptible to that kind of like suggestion or imagination, maybe as an adult a little bit less flexible in that regard. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The book I was talking about was by Gordon Williams, and it's called The Siege of Trencher's Farm.
Huh.
And it was the book that became the movie Straw Dogs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny. That's interesting. Yeah, I similarly don't have a lot of examples of books that scare me as an adult, for sure. As a kid, it was like, yeah, I mean, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark definitely scared me. And I don't think Goosebumps ever scared me, but I was definitely intrigued by them. And I like enjoyed reading them. And then we got like little like chills here and there. As an older teen, maybe in my early 20s, maybe, I can't remember exactly when I read it, Alan Moore's From Hell, the graphic novel by Alan Moore and Eddie Campbell about Jack the Ripper, did scare me. It's really upsetting. The movie is very bad and has almost no bearing on the actual text, so it's not even a worthy comparison. The comic is an exploration of Alan Moore's theories as about who Jack the Ripper actually was, and it gets into like Freemasonry and occultism, and it's really upsetting, and it's grisly too. Like Eddie Campbell's art is really suited for stark violence. It's very slashy, as you might expect from a Jack the Ripper story. But it was the Mystic stuff that really fucked me up the most. Like, one of the premises of the comic is that Jack the Ripper like initiated the 20th century by being this horrific murderer, essentially. And so it's like everything, all of modernity is predicated on this like ritualistic slaughter, essentially. And so it's like, it's just hard to read because in a philosophical way, but also it's genuinely upsetting. Like the comic is rough. It's scary and intense. And then I've mentioned this before, I think too, maybe in the podcast or maybe on Chamber 4, I can't remember if I wrote about it there or not. There's a short story in a comic called House of Mystery. It came out, I want to say like maybe 10 years ago, maybe a little bit more than that. And it was the backup story that led into the next story arc. The premise was there was a killer in a mall and he was talking directly to camera, or to the reader through the panel, I should say, and explaining that when you turn the page, he was going to kill everyone in the mall. And like, it was going to happen for sure. He was like, had this plan. He was like, there was no reason. It was just this like psychopathic murderer thing, but you had to turn the page to have it happen. Like, you were in control. And if you didn't turn the page, nothing was going to happen. But he was like, I know you want to, like, you're going to turn the page for sure. Like, you can't stop yourself. That's what it is. And reading it, I was like zeroed in on this idea where I was like, holy shit. Like, I am complicit in this murder if I turn this page. And I was like, well, what do you do? And I was like, I turned it, and then he fucking murders everyone. And it felt awful, and it was horrible. But it was so effective because it really got me, and I really sort of bought into the guilt of being someone who wants to sort of consume something a bit grisly in my fiction, and then sort of grappling with the consequences of that feeling. And I think metafiction does that to me more than anything. Like, a metafiction really gets me. I don't know, for whatever reason, maybe I'm just like a chump, but I feel like I get, whenever something is like talking to you and trying to bring you into the text, I get real spooked out. When I was a kid, I used to really get afraid of those scary sounds records when they had like a first person narration with them. Those used to scare the fuck out of me. So yeah, there's another one. Grant Morrison did one too called Ultra Comics that was also pretty scary because it kind of involved the reader in that process. Great. Listeners, what about you? What scares you? What have you read that has terrified you to the bone, caused you to put books down, throw them across the room, hide them under your bed, whatever you had to do? Let us know on Twitter at YakBabies, and of course email us at YakBabiesPodcast@gmail.com. Let us know there. Rate and review us on whatever podcasting app you use. Give us 5 stars and tell us why you love YakBabies. That'd be wonderful. Find us on Patreon, patreon.com/YakBabies is where our bonus secret podcast lives. For $1 a month, you can get access to it. This episode...
You can hear all our attempts to get this one off the ground.
We tried to start this episode 3 fucking times. Those will all end up in the bonus feed somewhere, I'm sure.
No, we should run that whole thing as one episode false start.
Hopefully not all of them, because just some of it you can't hear. And then also our merch is available. Find it on Twitter. We don't have the exact link with us right now, but there's some really funny shirts and mugs out there. There's a shirt with Dave's immortal quote about toast that he spoke to George Saunders, his limelight moment, and it's now preserved forever in cotton form. Yes, Nico's holding up a mug that I will not repeat back to you. Excellent. Until then, Yak Babies, yakking off.
The Yak Babies would like to thank all their loyal listeners and especially their patrons past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, Sebastian, David, and William Howard Taft.
Gently.